Welcome to the Spotlight Series, a wide-ranging set of interviews covering the globe. Today we're here talking to author Kat Jordan. Welcome, Kat. How are you?
Hi, how are you, Melissa? Nice to see you. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So can you tell us a bit about your personal background?
Well, sure. My background is actually kind of unusual. Although I am a writer, a lot of what I draw on comes from I've worked in a lot of different industries, including the film industry. I used to work in film and television. I used to be on set with, I used to work at MTV, and I did a lot of commercials and some movies. I think the most famous person I ever worked with was Madonna. She was doing some promotional videos for the MTV Music Awards, and so that was probably the biggest name I ever worked with. But then in the movies, in terms of the movies, I used to work with, I did a movie with Vin Diesel, who is also a pretty well-known guy. You know, he's in the action movies, and I met him when he was in New York and just getting started. So that's probably the most famous person I worked with there. But I've also been a dancer, and I've been a choreographer, and I teach, and and so it all kind of informs what I write about, and just looking for different ways to tell stories, you know. So that's my background.
And you like to tell stories through ballet as well. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Ballet, I've been in ballet since I was a little girl. I'm like about 5 years old. And I started telling, I've always written stories. And they're, whether it's short stories or novels or whatever, or screenplays. I started writing screenplays a long time ago too when I was in film school. And a lot of what I thought stories were all about character to me. And when you are creating a ballet or you want to tell a story, that's what you're looking at, is like, what's the character? Who am I portraying? And so each character has their own backstory, just like a book, you know, like you sort of think about where they came from, what their motivations are, what their relationships are. And it's very similar to writing a book, is that you sort of take the individuals and you put them around and you say, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And on stage, I'm actually physically moving people. You know, like when you're typing, you're writing, you're giving them words to say, but when they're, it's really exciting to have dancers' bodies right in front of you. And it's like, you are actually moving them. It's like, I don't want to say like puppetry, but it is kind of like, you do feel like, you know, you're controlling them. So it's a really interesting way to tell a story, is through movement. And I guess that's a really long way of saying, it's a really, this is probably why I write novels and not short stories, because it takes a really long time to say what I want to say. So
I really love that you said about moving the bodies. It's like manifesting your vision through their bodies, and just sort of comes to life. That's incredible. I never thought of it that way.
Absolutely. Exactly. Manifesting your vision. That is a really good way to put it, because you do, like when you have, like, I love movement, and I love gestures. I love story ballets. As much as I enjoy a ballet or a dance form that is just pure movement, I'm always looking for the story. I'm always looking for, what does that mean? What does this mean? And what is the story that the dancers are telling? So even if it's an abstract work, I'm still looking for the story that's being told to me. So I think everything is a story, you know? So we all are telling stories all the time.
And what is your favorite type of scene to write?
Well, see, now that's interesting, because one of my very favorite, I was talking to some writer friends of mine about this, and they actually hate this scene. They hate writing the first kiss. I love writing scenes that are first kisses. They would rather skip past that and write, like, you know, more intimate scenes or, you know, more emotional scenes like that. But for me, I think that it's my very favorite thing is to write, like, the couple, a couple first meeting, and then also their first kiss. Those are my favorite scenes. But I have author friends who hate that. They hate it.
Why do you like those scenes?
Because I love the initial spark of what draws people to each other. And it's not always, like, some people think, like these writer friends of mine who say, oh, I hate those scenes because they're so boring. They're always the same. And that's not true, because when a couple meets, they're always, they're drawn to each other for a particular reason. And sometimes it's antagonistic. Sometimes it's an immediate attraction. Sometimes it's something that is physical or emotional or intellectual. There's so many different ways that people connect. And I think that that is probably the most exciting thing for me. It's like, and I, cause I, one of the things that, like, when I'm talking to somebody, that person, a person who becomes important to me, I will remember the exact moment that I met them. And I can tell them that. It's like people that I've known for years, I can tell them, I know exactly when we met. I remember that moment. And it doesn't matter. It's a friend or it's a boyfriend or you know, significant other. It's like, I know exactly what we said, what we meant, what we were talking about. That moment is, like, indelibly marked in my brain. So I think that those moments are really, really critical. And that's why I like writing them.
And Stephen Colbert says he embraces awkwardness. Now, there's always awkwardness in a first kiss, in a first meeting sometimes. Do you find you embrace that as well, or is it nothing to do with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Awkwardness is a beautiful thing, because especially if you're writing from within the character, like if you're writing first person, which I love to write first person, and you're writing in present tense, which my past two novels were in present tense. It's like you're in the moment with that character and they're feeling that same thing. And of course it's going to be awkward. Nothing is smooth, especially if it's a first kiss. If it's the first kiss ever that they've ever had in their entire lives, then yes, it's very awkward. But a first kiss with somebody that they are really attracted to or they want to impress or whatever. I mean, yeah, it's going to be awkward. But everybody can relate to that. I think everybody can relate to that.
Definitely. And do you have a wish list of books that you would like to write and ones that you wish you had written?
Yes, I would. There is a series of books that I would like to write. First of all, I've always wanted to write a series. I love series novels. I'm really impressed with authors who can create this world and that you just want to be in it. You know, and of course, there's the obvious one, like J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter, which is like this world that you absolutely, and then you really want to live in that world. She draws it so vividly. But then, of course, the movies interpreted them as well. So it's like you really feel like you could live in that world. But even books that never get turned into movies, there's something about getting to know characters and seeing them develop, watching them develop, and just sort of living their lives. That is really, it's really impressive to me when authors can do that. I tend to write books that are very finite in their time, like whether it's a year in a life or in this case, 8 days on planet Earth, just 8 days in this world. And I'm really impressed when people can sort of expand that out for years or generations. That's really exciting. I love that. So those are the kind of, that is what I would like to do, is to write a series, even if it's a finite series, like a trilogy, and say, but to be able to plan it out and say, this is like plot it out for a period of time. That to me would be really exciting.
Do you think they plot it out, or do you think it just sort of comes to them as they go?
Well, I don't know. I've never, like, I know some authors, I've talked to one who had, was Romina Garber. She wrote a series of novels that are based on the zodiac signs. And so she knew that there were going to be at least 12 books. I mean, that's kind of the outline for it. And then I think she created a 13th novel as well. I mean, not that you couldn't go beyond that, but certain topics, like Sue, I think it's Sue Grafton who writes there's an alphabet series. So obviously you have 26, there's 26 letters in the English alphabet. So you can, you know, have 26 books. So I think some topics sort of lend themselves to a certain number of books, like a finite number of books that you can plan out. And then others, I think you can get started and say, hey, these characters are really great. Let's keep going with
them. Yeah, so. I think this is something that showrunners and TV show writers deal with all the time. And from what I've established, they sort of go season by season, maybe with an overall theme for the long term, but more season by season, and then see how characters interact because things develop as you go. So it's almost like having a plan but leaving enough room for characters to do what they want, because I think you mentioned that characters sort of take on a life of their own.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's true. In the case of some, I think now that we have like a lot of Netflix series, those types of like finite, you know, it's like, okay, you're going to, like, you, people can binge it. So they're not doing it over a period of time. It's like they do it all at once. And so you can watch 13 episodes, whereas on a broadcast network, they might cancel it after a couple of episodes, and then that's it, and you never know what happens. So I think with something like Netflix, you can look at it like, okay, what is my start point? What is my end point? But then you're right, it's even then, it's only for one season. You know, if it doesn't catch on, you're probably not going to do another season.
So I think they only let you binge watch on Netflix after the whole season has come out.
Right.
So you still have the release. But that would be interesting if Netflix had changed the way writers write for TV shows. That would be a separate interesting study.
Absolutely. Oh, I know. They've had a massive impact on writers. Well, like something like Orange is the New Black. That's a series that was released. That's released all at once, and you can watch all of it, but it's only one season at a time. So, yeah, that's. I don't know how writers. I don't know how showrunners do that, where they know where their characters are going to be, and then they just, okay, we'll just sort of let it roam. That's really impressive too.
And so you have a ballet company called the Lee Pirtle Ballet Company, and you were on The Gong Show. Would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, The Gong Show, for those people who have not seen it, it used to be Chuck Barris, I think is the name of the original host. It was years ago. It was like in the 70s. And I remember watching that show when I was a little kid with my brother. And it was like the craziest show. It was a talent show that had all these different acts, and it had these weird celebrity judges, and the acts were like the silliest, weirdest things. And like people would sing with their mouths filled with marshmallows and things like that, you know, where they try to balance something on their heads. And the judges, if they liked them, they would give them a good score, like 1 to 10 or something. And if they didn't like them, they would gong them. Like they had this giant gong, and one of them would get up and gong, they would be gone. So that was a lot of fun. It was like years ago. It was really, really campy. And then last year, it came back. And I had been doing, with my company, we had been doing what was called, we called a zombie ballet. And it was part of a bigger work that I was working on. And that in itself was based on a novel that I was writing. And it was classical music, but it was, you know, the undead, like the dancers were zombies, but it was classical ballet. And it just had like a very unusual take on it and a very unusual story. And we had been doing that for a while. And so videos were available online. And somebody from The Gong Show, like the casting agency, contacted me and said, hey, we're rebooting The Gong Show. Would you want to bring your zombie ballet on? I'm like, what? That's silly. That's like a bunch of silly acts. And we're, I'm a ballet company. That's just, no, I'm not interested. But let me think about it. So eventually we sort of went through the whole process, and I had, you know, my group of a group of dancers, because my company is much larger than that. And we just did it with five dancers, and they were a little bit nervous because they didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know whether they were going to make fun of us or what, but I told them, look, they can't make fun of you if you are who you are. They're only going to make fun of you if you stop being a zombie. So you have to, once you're in costume, in character, you're a zombie for that entire time. And how can they fault you for being who you are, right? That was the way I looked at it. And we were beautiful, and they were beautiful, and I was so excited for them. They did a great performance, and I didn't care. I told them, we had all contingency plans. If they gonged us, my zombies were gonna go like sort of shamble over to the judges and try to eat them. You know, so like if they gave us really bad reviews, they would, you know, so we had all these contingency plans just in case, so that it would still be entertaining, because that's what, you know, it's supposed to be fun. And because we weren't taking it seriously. I mean, it was just a silly game show. And as it turned out, the judges like really loved it. They just flipped out and they had a really great time, and we won, which was just like an incredible thing. So it was an amazing experience, but the fact that they stayed in character the entire time, even when they accepted the award at the very end, when they called them, they made the announcement that we had won, because we didn't know until the very last second. And they had the trophy and this, you know, like big silly check. And I told my dancers, no matter what, just go out there and just be your zombie selves. Don't be yourselves. Be the zombies. And so they did. And if you see any footage of them, they're just like shambling along, and they're just like looking like they're zombies. And then when they announced the winners, they didn't react. Because they were zombies, they didn't react. They just walked over. They got their award, and it was amazing. They were amazing. I was so proud of them.
So. Aside from just staying in character, they're incredibly good actors, because they terrified the judges. The judges were literally terrified, but that they loved being terrified. That's what they wanted.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And they told us that. They said, "Go for it. Just go after them. It doesn't matter. We don't care. Frighten them, whatever." So they did. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And you go to horror conventions, and you have fans of the zombie ballet as well.
Yes. Yes, we do. There's this horror convention that's called Scare LA. And it's in Los Angeles, and it's gotten a lot bigger than it used to be, but they through one of my dancers, we got contacted, and they invited us to perform there a few years ago, and people flipped out. They were like, what? I mean, because horror conventions, first of all, horror fans are amazing. They are just like the best people. They are so enthusiastic. They're so incredibly warm and in inviting. They're just like, it's an amazing event. Kind of like, if you have an opportunity, it's just a lot of fun. And I didn't know what to expect, but it was an amazing experience. So the first time we went, they didn't know what we were all about. And we didn't know what they were going to be like. And as it turned out, they just loved my dancers. And they basically, like, we performed that same, very similar thing that we did on the Gong Show. We did, but with a much larger group. And they were followed. Like, we would be walking around the convention, and people would follow. Can we get a picture with you? Can we get a picture? Like, little kids, you know, or adults or whatever, like old people. I mean, everybody wanted their picture taken with the zombie ballerinas. They loved it. And so they asked us to come back the next year. Do you want to come back? Do you want to perform more? Do you want to have a booth? You know, it was like, so it kind of grew from there. And so this will be our third year at this horror convention, like where we have a booth and we're like, you know, we're profiled. It's just an amazing thing.
Can you go on tour with the zombie ballet?
I would love to go on tour with my zombies, absolutely. But we are a nonprofit ballet company, so we don't have a lot of resources. But
do
that
you
is
have anywhere that people can donate to help your zombie ballet?
They can. They can donate at my website, my ballet company's website, which is leepirtleballet.com.
If they want to spell that for the view, the listeners.
Oh, I can. LEIGHPURTILLBALLET.com. And yeah, that's my company is. And we have cool t-shirts and yeah, that's another thing too. It's like people like the merchandise. They're like one of my dancers is an amazing artist, and he designed all these really cool images, very iconic Dawn of the Dead type images, you know, like George Romero is really cool stuff. Very cool. But it's a lot of throwback to that. But it's still classical ballet, because the goal of it is to get people to love ballet who might not necessarily love ballet.
Right. I think ballet can be fun. It's always so sort of, there's almost a severity in the training, which sometimes communicates to the audience, but it can be definitely just be fun. So that's yes. Great.
Absolutely. So someday what I'd like to do is just combine all of my things. So like my books and my ballet and zombies, and just put it all, you know, like I'd like to have that all as a unified piece, you know.
How do you see that happening?
Well, I do have an idea for some books that I'd like to write. I did write a novel that the ballet is based on, because the ballet is, it's a sequel to Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. So it takes place after they've died. So then I wrote a book about it, and then I made ballet about, you know, based on the book. But then I also have a series of books that I'd like to write. So, that have to do with that as well, ballet. So.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was anything to do with Romeo and Juliet. That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So, there will be links to the zombie ballet below this interview. And regarding your book, can you tell us where readers can buy your book and what your personal website is, where they can learn more about you as an author?
Sure. I have my website for my books is catjordanbooks.com. And I think it's my website. I know I have links there to buy the book. You can get it at Amazon. My current book is 8 Days on Planet Earth, and there are no zombies in that one, but it's a romance and contemporary, but it's also got a lot of science in it. The main character is interested in science fiction, and he loves Star Trek and he also loves astronomy. And so when he meets this girl, it's, you know, he's really intrigued. Like the girl thinks that she's, or says that she's an alien waiting for her spaceship to land. So he's really intrigued by that. That's 8 Days on Planet Earth. And you can get that at, Amazon. I think you can also get it through barnesandnoble.com. So you can definitely buy it online.
That's
and
great.
I have an awesome excerpt from it too. It's an awesome extra audio excerpt that Miles Carr did, which I love. And that will be up there too. So you can actually hear what the book sounds like.
Hear it come to life. That's so great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kat. We wish you all the best with your future endeavors. You're extremely creative, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.